Now, stress is something that we all have to deal with. There's no getting away from it. You know, whether you're at work, or maybe you are at home, or maybe you work from home, or maybe you deal with internet, or maybe you deal with setting up a broadcast that is supposed to run smoothly each and every week, or maybe you're supposed to go shopping and do the laundry and you name it. Everyone has stress. And it seems that as we go along, a lot more people are becoming more increasingly stressed. You can go on the internet and type in stress and you'll see just about anything that you can think of. Multiple pages dealing with stress. One that I picked up had just a couple numbers that I thought was interesting. It says almost one-third of those surveyed said they visited a doctor about something related to stress. 57% of the survey respondents said they are paralyzed by stress. 43% that say they are invigorated by stress. So some people like stress or deal with stress better than other people, but a little bit more than half don't deal well with stress. Just over a third of the respondents say their job or a career is a regular source of stress. And among the millennials and Gen Zers, as they call them, the chronically work stress rises to about 44%. So younger people don't know how to deal with stress, it seems. 52% of respondents say financial issues regularly stress them out, and well above the 35% who cited jobs and careers as the next most common stressor. And this didn't even go into the government, the things that happen there, or watching the news. But the point is that we all have stress in our lives. Some is okay, some is useful. But when it becomes unrelenting, it becomes tiring and annoying. Now, I've been told that I occasionally make mountains out of molehills. It's a fun expression, if you think about it. I don't know if you ever had moles in your garden, or they're quite annoying. They leave little mounds and they eat all your food really quickly. The point is that you can take something small and you can create an illusion in your head, something huge. You know, but God uses situations to help us grow. Even stressful situations, he uses to help us grow. You know, Abraham was stressed when he was going into new lands. He was worried because his wife was good looking. And he was worried that people were going to, you know, try and kill him and take her. And so he was stressed about that and he ended up lying about it. You know, Moses was stressed about taking on the children of Israel and leading them. Now, who wouldn't be stressed about that? Even dealing with, you know, a small congregation is a hard thing, but think about the thousands of people that he was leading. You know, he gave all kinds of excuses of why he wasn't the perfect fit for the job. Jeremiah, when he was called, was stressed because he was young. He felt he couldn't do it. Elijah. Now, last week, Mr. Rank spoke about Elijah. And it's always struck me the difference between chapter 18 of 1 Kings and chapter 19. Because in one, Elijah is very bold. He's courageous. God is powerfully working through him. And in fact, the 18th chapter concludes, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Ahab was on a chariot. He had horses pulling him. They were moving fast. And yet Elijah was able to outrun him. Now, that's just one small little incident in the chapter 18, I mean, Elijah prayed to God and God poured down fire from heaven. But then in chapter 19, we see Elijah's expectations exploding in his face. You know, fear and stress of death shatters Elijah's faith. He loses his focus on God. Elijah's reaction to the death threat is totally out of character. It's interesting to note that Jezebel gave him a warning ahead of time. I mean, she could have come in with soldiers. She knew where he was. But instead, she sends a messenger. You know, this should serve to remind us that we all have vulnerabilities. We each have to take heed lest we fall. You know, the potential of a fall is always one step away. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Luke 8:18 says, "Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Romans 11:20, "Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear." And then 2 Peter 3 and verse 17 says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Life is full of disappointments. And if we're not extremely careful, our expectations can derail us. You know, it's not wrong for us to hope for the best and to look to God for that. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, "Love believes all things, hopes all things." And the same is true for faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But going back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, it also says, "Love bears all things, endures all things." So we see believing and hoping is sandwiched right between bearing and enduring. So I wanted to take a quick look at a couple people who did endure, who had their faith perfectly on God. We look at 2 Kings 6. Beginning in verse 8. We'll actually just start in verse 15. 2 Kings 6 and verse 15. This is Elisha, who was the servant of Elijah. And the king of Assyria had come against the king of Israel here. And so it says in verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?'" So Elisha's servant here is stressed. He's fearful. And Elisha says, "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." It's incredible how having faith in God changes things. Things you can't even see. In Isaiah 27, verse 14 to 20, and 36 to 37, we see a very similar story with the king Hezekiah. There was kings coming against Hezekiah. They were surrounding him. And he brought the matter before God. And God took care of him and the people. Brethren, God can and does fight our battles. But it's if we decide to include him and to wait on his timing. Let's turn to Matthew 26 and verse 47. Matthew 26, and actually let's just turn to verse 51. This is where they were coming to arrest Christ. Matthew 26, 51. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Sure, he wasn't aiming for his ear. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" John 18 and verse 10 tells us that in this story, the person was actually Peter. Peter was ready to take action. But Christ's answer was simple. "I have more angels at my command if I wanted to, but I can't. I have to go through this. I have to take the cup that my Father has given me." Now, Christ handled this stressful moment perfectly. Now, a biblical response to stress is one that fosters dependence on God. Beginning to meditate on the stress in our lives requires taking a good look at ourselves and asking questions about how and why and what we can do. And what are the primary reasons for our stress? How often do we pray about the factors in our lives that's causing the stress? Do we trust God to work in our lives, whether it's our finances, our health, our relationships, the future? Are we patient enough to allow God to work out situations in his good time? Do we believe in the words of God? Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear not, and I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Proverbs 3 and verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Matthew 6, 34. "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Brethren, do we believe in the plan that God has for each and every one of us? Philippians 1 and verse 6 states that God will finish the work that he has started in each of us. God doesn't leave things half done. It can seem like that sometimes because we can't see forever. We don't have all the time in the world. God does, though. He's been around forever, so time really doesn't mean that much to him. Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Brethren, how often would you say that you accomplish this scripture? How often do we remind ourselves of it? John 14 and verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Brethren, we live in maybe one of the most stressful and frightening times known to the history of man, because we know what's coming. But if we keep our sight on God and the end goal, then we do not have to be afraid. We do not have to have stress. Yes, it's natural for humans to have fear, to have stress, to be stressed about things. But we need to realize that it's God who is our rock and our fortress. If we make him such in our lives, then nothing can move us. Proverbs 18 and verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." But as we saw with Elijah, we need to be on guard. We have to be watchful and careful and be constantly in communication with God so that we don't have to be afraid nor stressed.